Welcome to Semper Reformanda. It is so good to be with you, our supporters. We want to thank you so much. It's because of your support we allow to bring men on like this, like Ken. And who knows what the Lord may allow us to do. Justin and I are trying to tease him to possibly come and do a conference with us. And I know we keep using that word, but who knows? We'll figure it out. But I think we've twisted his arm enough that he might show up and preach to us Christ from Scripture. So it'll be fun. Let's jump into it. A question that I think I get quite a bit. I don't really answer it very much because it can be complicated for people to understand how preachers engage other preachers. You know, one of the things that we didn't talk about, but I think we can talk about here too. So I'm going to add in, I think one, let's talk about preachers that we may listen to and read. And then I think we need to talk about commentaries because people just assume they can go buy a commentary and they're going to get Christ-centered preaching or commentating. And that's just not necessarily how it works.
Yeah.
So Ken, we'll start with you on preaching and then we'll go to commentating. So who are some guys in the past that have just been beneficial for you, whether it's audio or written?
Well, one of the guys that I did mention when we were talking earlier, growing up in Los Angeles, a preacher that I really enjoyed listening to, and I think it was, I don't know what his theology was, but he was really Christocentric, even if he didn't have all the categories and doctrines, and his name was Manuel Scott, Dr. Manuel Scott Sr., and he pastored for a number of years at Calvary Baptist Church in Los Angeles, over 20-some-odd years, 30 years, and then he was called to a church in Dallas. And he pastored there until probably shortly after I came here, about 2011 or 12 is when the Lord called him home. But I really enjoyed listening to him. He was a different kind of preacher. But the preachers that I really have gleaned from over the years, James Boyce. And I tell young preachers all the time, it's helpful if you can find a voice that resonates with you, not someone that you're looking to emulate. You can hear their thought process, you know, clicking with yours. So when the first time I heard James Boyce preach, it was like, oh, okay, that's how I would kind of look at that. But he's obviously bringing information and so forth. But his approach to the text was familiar to me.
Yeah,
I love James Boyce as a preacher, and also Sinclair Ferguson. I just love Sinclair. That's one of the added joys of going to Ligonier is listening to him. Sinclair Ferguson. Ligon Duncan is underrated as a preacher. And I know because he's done so many other things, but Lig is first and foremost a preacher. And the same thing with Bob Godfrey. Bob is a preacher, and his wife says it best. He preached at something, and he followed a preacher who said some crazy things. And so he got up and he preached, and he just made it absolutely clear. And his wife, she says, well, that's what he is. He's a preacher. So I those guys are the preachers that I've listened to. And then the ones that I've read that have really helped me. Martin Lloyd Jones, by the way, I love his recorded messages as well. He had a unique way of presenting, but I love Martin Lloyd Jones. And also reading G. Campbell Morgan, you know, he was one of my favorites, very technical in terms of his presentation. And I was blessed for about 5 years, 5 years in a row. I went to Africa, different African countries doing conferences. And one of the main speakers, the other main speaker was David Wells. Mm-hmm. And David is a very dear friend and brother. I got a chance to, again, hear him, not just from writing, but to hear him preach. And for 2 years in a row, he preached through the book of Job. And I really gained a deep appreciation for him, not just as a scholar and a cultural observer, which most people identify him as, but he's a great preacher.
Right.
That's great.
That's good. That's super helpful.
And this was fun. Like, this is just like fireside time with Ken right now. Just pull up the chair and listen.
Need some bourbons and cigars
right
now.
No kidding. That'd be excellent. Yeah. Maybe one day. Maybe
one day we'll be able to do that. Go for it, brother.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to repeat. I just enjoyed listening to Ken. I mean, I'll just name a few that have been helpful to me. In terms of guys who are alive, I mean, two of the guys that Ken named are at the top of my list, Sinclair Ferguson and Lig Duncan, both encouraged me tremendously. I would put those guys on a short list. And then as far as guys to read, a lot of the guys that I really resonate with are older. And I agree with your thoughts, Ken, as a preacher, whether you're having conversations with guys that are living or dead, right, through what they've written or what they've said, I think you don't want to emulate them as much as you want to find a guy that, man, when he writes or the way he speaks, it resonates in my heart, resonates in my mind and in my soul. Mm-hmm. And it encourages me in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's like, man, he seems to, in a good way, I'm not trying to be weird like, you know, Jerry Maguire or something, but like he gets me, you know, and he gets my experience. So I find that, I find some of that in Luther. I find some of that in Calvin for sure. And then I mentioned, this is not segueing to Roman or to commentaries, but I'm preaching in Romans right now. And the commentary that I'm finding is just blessing me and encouraging my heart every week when I look at it is Robert Haldane. You just find these things over the course of your life and you begin to pick up a book and you read a guy enough that it's like, yeah, I feel like I know him and he knows me in a way. Because we are seeing the world the same way. We're seeing our hearts the same way. We're seeing our need of Christ and the way we would present that the same way. And that's what really resonates with me. So those are a few names. I don't know how helpful that is.
Yeah. But. Yeah, I would add some, and I wouldn't say these guys I've listened to exhaustively, but there are times I have found their sermons to be extremely encouraging because they're Christocentric. Mm-hmm. You know, Alistair Begg, we all had mentioned him earlier. Mm-hmm. I mean, we all know that famous clip of him that's been going around, which is
the man on the middle cross.
The man on the middle cross that I could come. But amen. Yeah, I've even heard Brian Chappell preach some really encouraging sermons, been encouraged by him as well. And I know that this is a kind of a hot take, but there have been times I've been thoroughly encouraged and blessed by things that Tim Keller has preached in the past and some of his Tim Keller.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Tim Keller.
Oh, yeah. I would say the same thing, similar. Like I know it's a mixed bag sometimes, but I've rarely heard anybody herald Christ better than Vody Baucham. I mean, the guy preaches Jesus when he's preaching the gospel. It's pretty phenomenal. Yeah.
And it's hard. I mean, as with anybody, you can put a little asterisk on there and say, hey, you know, beware, use discernment, you know, at times, whatever. But so those are things that I think that we could and obviously Martin Lloyd-Jones would be one I would read Lloyd as well. Jones. Go ahead.
Can I insert something here? You mentioned Tim Keller. Ed Clowney, who wrote Preaching Christ from All of Scripture. Mm-hmm. Well, he was a professor, and one of his students was Tim Keller. Another one was Dennis Johnson, among his many students. And it was actually Dennis Johnson who, when he wrote Preaching Christ from, Him We Proclaim. And he got together with some other former students of Ed Clowney, and they put together a book of sermons on Christ-centered sermons, and it includes Tim Keller. And Keller's message is very good. So, I would recommend that. But Ed Clowney was one of the ones that encouraged a lot of those young guys or the guys from that once went to Westminster, Philly on Christ-centered preaching.
That's good.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. All right, real quick, let's get, I mean, the man who's been preaching longer than I've been alive. And so he has read more commentators than probably I care to even hope or think about. You probably have heard this so many times where people are like, hey, what's a commentary set or what's the one commentary I can buy? Mm. And I hate to break people's bubbles, but often I tell them like, that's not really, I mean, there are pastoral commentaries. I mean, maybe get Martin Lloyd-Jones sermons on some things that could help.
Those are more expositional Calvin. Commentaries. Yeah.
Calvin could be great. I found the Reformation Study Bible to be helpful at times, but if you're thinking you're going to sit down and like read the text and then kind of come over and see Jesus out of the commentating, it just doesn't work like that. Especially for it's a tool, you know, it's like walking into a garage and saying, hey, what tools can I buy? Will build me a bookshelf. Right. It's like, well, there's no tools that will build you a bookshelf, but if you use the tools correctly, you can build a bookshelf. Yes. And that's kind of how commentators work, is that they're a tool that will give you an aspect of history, language, nuance, maybe some comparison or maybe overarching narrative. So you just have to be careful when you're thinking about that, because I'll give recommendations to people, but I give it with a caveat. But Ken, what's your response to people when they ask you like, hey, what's some Christ-centered commentaries I can go to?
Obviously, my use and understanding of commentaries is different than when I first started preaching. Right. Now that I'm grounded in a particular system, theological system, I'm not looking to the commentaries as I did. But having said that, one, I do like Spurgeon's commentary, his Treasuries of David. And one of the reasons I like it is not just his commentary, but the way that it's laid out, where he has his own explanatory notes, and then he has his own comments on, you know, the particular psalm. But then he brings in different commentators on the same verse. And I find that very helpful. And then at the end of it, hints to the village preacher. So I love the way it's laid out. Something similar to that online that I will go to more often now is Bible Hub. Bible Hub commentaries where they will have guys like Ellicott, Charles Ellicott, and Barnes and McLaren and Calvin and Clark and, you know, all these different guys on the same thing. They will give their comments on specific texts, and then you can just kind of comparatively go through it. I did an endorsement. They asked me to endorse for one in a series, but then they wanted to use it for the whole set, and that was Concordia House. They tried to do something similar to Treasury of David, where they use a whole host from everyone from Calvin to their own guys, Lutherans from the past, and other reformers from the past, and current commentators on any given passage. And it's, I think it's Concordia House Commentaries. I know they started with the New Testament, but I really did appreciate that. Even if I don't agree with Wesley, it's good to see what he actually said and to get that cross reference. Sure. It was a bold endeavor. Came out a few years ago. I don't know how well it sold, but I did because they sent me some samples, and I love that approach. So that's more of my use now. It's more of a shotgun approach, scatter, just, you know, using several voices at the same time rather than being devoted to one particular commentator.
Yep. And
Justin,
I mean,
what about you?
Well, I mean, using commentaries as a pastor is very different than using them like devotionally. And I always find it interesting when like members of the church are like, hey, I'm reading this book of the Bible. Can you recommend a commentary for me? And a lot of times I'm in agreement with you guys that I think the best quote unquote commentaries to give to the layperson are the more expositional commentaries where it's basically just it's guys' sermons. So, I mean, you know, Jim Boyce has a lot of those, obviously referring to him. You know, he's got a number where it's just his sermons, or the Lloyd-Jones commentaries are his sermons through certain books of the Bible. Yeah. You can find Calvin's sermons on whatever. And I think that's going to be more edifying, generally speaking, for the layperson. The commentaries are more aimed at the preacher, at the guy who's preparing a sermon and he's wanting to investigate particular things. But I will say this, just even as a pastor, if there are pastor guys listening to this, I generally find, and you brothers may agree or disagree, I don't know. Obviously, it varies by book of the Bible. But I find often that modern evangelical commentators are not as helpful and are not as encouraging theologically as the older guys. Mm-hmm. I do think the modern commentators often have some good, if you're looking at a technical issue or if you're wanting to understand, you know, if you're just looking for data, I think a lot of the modern commentaries are useful. If you're looking for like really good high-level hermeneutics, if you're looking for Christ-centered edifying stuff, I generally am not looking to a lot of the modern guys. I'm often looking to guys that are from the era of the Reformation or at least several centuries ago. And that's been true for me even of late. I mean, most of the modern commentaries on Romans, they're good on technical stuff. They're not good theologically. Mm-hmm. I think the older guys, you know, whether we're talking Calvin, whether we're talking about Charles Hodge or Robert Haldane or Martin Luther, those are the more helpful dudes when it comes to, I want to be edified by reading five pages and just maybe have some thoughts sparked. I'm usually going to get that from those older guys, not the modern dudes. Just a thought.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
That's really good. All right. Well, we'll leak this out here very soon. We're going to be putting out, we have a partnership with Logos Bible Software, or Logos, or however else you want to say it. You guys are going to get some pretty hefty discounts if you would like to get different kinds of books. Our books will be on there eventually, and then you can get different commentators. So we'll just leak that out now. Don't hold me to when that's coming. It's coming soon. But Justin, anything else before we close it down, or Ken?
No, man, this has been fun.
The only thing I want to just say is to reiterate our gratitude to Ken for being on and spending this amount of time with us, and look forward to next week's episode as well.
Absolutely. Cool. Absolutely. Yeah. All right, guys, we will see you next week, Lord willing, in glory. But unfortunately, if not there, then you'll hear us on the podcast.
It is true.
Don't be disappointed. We'll encourage you in Christ, I promise. Stay tuned.
Amen.